Welcome to the Dirt Show, sponsored by Agnition. And today we are joined by number 94, Kevin Hager, late model hobby stock and super stock driver. We'll also hear from Mike Bath from Napa Distribution Center, Mark Langer from the IMCA Old Timers Club, and a little more information about Agnition from our buddy Andy, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Cabela's and Duradoc are synonymous with the great outdoors. Now these two businesses have teamed up to show you the best in dock technology. Duradoc from the City of Lakes, Clear Lake, Iowa, now has product displays inside the Cabela's store, located just north of Owatonna on I-35. Stop by and see what a modern, high-quality, long-lasting dock from Duradoc looks like up close. Because let's face it, when you're at the lake, you have many more important things to think about than dock maintenance. See the outdoor dream team, Duradoc and Cabela's in Owatonna, and the new dock displays. See Duradoc.us.
You're coming out of turn four and heading to the checker flag. You can feel your engine pulling for all it's worth. Is it worthy of winning a championship? Hi, this is Corey at Byers Engine Service in Rochester. We spent decades building racing engines for some of the biggest names in Minnesota racing history, including Jason Cummins' national championship winning engine in 2017. If you want the confidence that you have a winning motor under the hood, then call us at Byers Engine Service in Rochester today at 507-282-5586. The rest of the car is up to you. We'll take care of the horsepower.
Extreme Powder Coating.
Have you ever wondered what to do with that worn-out patio furniture or railing? How about your trailers, brush guards, even your rims? Have Extreme Powder Coating sandblast your items to perfection and apply the most durable metal finishing in the industry. Custom powder coating colors are available. Looks like paint, acts like armor.
The IMCA Racing Series makes their debut at Deer Creek Speedway for the 27th annual Harris Clash race Tuesday, August 7th. Come see the high-flying IMCA Modified racing for $3,000 to win, and the IMCA Sport Mods gunning for a $1,000 first-place paycheck. Hot laps start at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night, August 7th. Don't miss the 27th annual Harris Clash presented by Asgrow DeKalb Seeds. See DeerCreekSpeedway.com for tickets and more information.
Race fans, the biggest secret at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum isn't really a secret at all. Every race night in Knoxville, race fans can purchase tickets to sit on the museum. Museum second floor in climate-controlled comfort. So whether it's hot outside or cold and windy, it's always just right on the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum second floor, right on top of the museum. All you have to do is call in advance or come into the museum on Saturday afternoon to purchase second floor tickets to watch the sprint car races from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in climate-controlled comfort. And yes, there are still a number of four-day Knoxville Nationals second floor tickets available for this year's 58th annual 5-hour Energy Knoxville Nationals, but those won't last long. So the next time you're in Knoxville on race day and would like to watch the sprint car races from climate controlled comfort, stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out our second floor seating. You'll be glad you did, and we'll see you in Knoxville.
Welcome back to the driver segment here on the Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Kevin Hager, number 94. And Kevin, let's start off by talking about your 25th season in racing. Now, that's an accomplishment. A lot of late nights, a lot of hard work, dedication, and we all know it takes a whole lot of cash.
Yeah, it does. There's all that, everything you just mentioned.
Just visiting off the air, racers can do just about anything. You figured out a way to build your own pool heater, which is pretty cool.
I try to do as much as I can myself. I remember years ago, hearing from another racer, well, can he afford to race two cars, you know, and it was a family deal. He had a lot of help, you know, father-in-law, whatever it might have been, and it's like, well, if you actually seen what I do myself to try to be self-sustainable, I guess you could say in racing, it definitely helps. Maybe the kids don't realize how easy they got it. In fact, I'm sure you, the same as me, start to find out that you grab your phone and you Google this and you Google that, and you can learn an awful lot these days. But I just put my toolbox and tire rack back on my open trailer today, trying to make that a little more useful for my late model. And that's something I built years ago, too. A lot of times you build something and then even build motors. I've built motors before and had good success with whatever combination I used. And next thing, a computer program comes along and yeah, you plug all the numbers in. It's like, hey, yeah, That's why that thing worked so good. It made perfect sense. The computer program pretty much was right and showed where the power was and the torque. Kind of cool.
Where did the idea of the 25th anniversary tribute car come from? Because that turned out really cool.
Well, I guess, you know, I have been orange and white forever. Everyone's like, well, don't have 25 years yet. It's like, no, I know. This is the 25th year, all year. So I just thought, you know, the chrome aluminum and orange switch it up a little bit. Yeah, I guess I'd been thinking about it last year, actually, already a little bit. I guess I was committed to for sure race the 25th year because I was thinking about it. I try to change up once in a while, and I always kid everybody. I said, I know it means absolutely nothing, but it's like I remember back when I was orange and I kind of did a white, blue, purple, yellow faded out flame on my car. And I was like, right after that, Jeff Gordon had flames on his car, and I ran it like that for a few years, and then thought, you know, I'm going to go back to the traditional stripes, especially with the Camaro, put the stripes on the car, and I swear it was that next year that Jimmy Johnson's Lowe's car is blue with white stripes, the traditional stripe package, I guess. So it's kind of like, right about the same time, you know.
We were at Deer Creek earlier this season when you were involved in a crash that looked like it could have been prevented with the new car. You suffered heavy damage on the right front. What happened and how bad was the damage? Because I know when you pulled out heading for the pits, you were not a happy camper.
I know that I had damage from an earlier situation in a heat race. It's kind of too bad. At Deer Creek, heat races do mean something because they have a lot of great sponsorship input and they pay out for second, third place. But honestly, when I was out there racing, I was not thinking about that at all. It basically comes down to most of the sanctioning bodies now. You're just looking for a redraw spot, so you're looking for a top three, top four spot. And that particular night that happened, I was running strong, had started like fifth, and picked off fourth, and picked off third, and lo and behold, second place car was starting to try to run a different groove, and when he came down to the groove that I was used to running, he found the slick spot that I knew was there all along, and pushed way up the track. We got down to corner three, and I actually had almost my full car ahead of him coming down to the inside of the corner, and he came down around the outside of me, caught my right front, turned me into the bank, and they called it on me. But yeah, that bent up all my front end stuff. The bumper was bent, which is somewhat minor, and can always cut stuff away to get it back in place for front of the feature, but the drag link for the steering was bent like a horseshoe, and the tie rod actually looked good, but the night you're talking about, I got clipped in that right front again and it snapped the tie rod. So I kind of figured that it was damage suffered from earlier, but do you replace absolutely everything? Maybe. Maybe you should when you have an incident where you know that things definitely took some abuse.
I watched an in-car video of you in your super stock, and as a fan sitting up in the stands, I know we get dusty up there when the track's a little dry, but I was amazed on a smooth track the amount of dirt that's constantly spraying in your front windscreen. And does that get distracting when you're getting constantly pelted by dirt?
You know, you talked about that in that video night. I guess I thought was one of the better nights. Not that there's too many bad nights at Deer Creek on dust, but dust can be a major factor. It's not distracting at the level that you're talking about, I guess. That night, we're used to that. I'm sure every racer is used to that. It gets difficult when you're at an unfamiliar track more so, and anything like that happens. I mean, I was to Menominee one night that it got dusty, and, you know, it's just not always preventable. Not taming the track or whatever necessarily. It just, that's Mother Nature, you know, depending on when they start and what the track's made of, whatever. It's very tough when you're somewhat unfamiliar, you know, you're not probably going to run it right out to the wall because you don't know where it is. Unless you're a little more familiar with the track, you may be able to judge a little. I mean, I remember years ago at Fountain City when we had fog move in, and boy, they weren't sure if they were going to run or not, and they waited, and they actually tried to get cars out there to see if the air would actually pick the fog up at all. Well, we raced, and I was so used to that track that I wasn't always quite as well lit as some of the tracks were starting to be back in the day. This had to be around 97, 98, and I remember a couple unfamiliar cars were there. It may have been some sort of special. And yeah, it was a good thing I didn't follow the car ahead of me. I was thinking, gosh, looks like he's going into corner three awful low. And yep, there's one over the guardrail. There's another one over the inside guardrail because they had the inside guardrail coming into the pits there. And it's like, ooh, there's two, you know, one followed the other right in there. And I think at the time I was up to fourth place, and it's like two of the front three just followed each other right over the guardrail. Not sure. I don't remember exactly how that one ended up or if they called it. I have a feeling that they called it and we finished it next week, which is a little bum because it was a fast track. It was tacky and fast. And I was always better in heat races there in the street stock. Not that features weren't pretty good, but heat race type tracks were definitely my deal. And would have liked to have finished it that night, but that's the way it goes. So yeah, familiarity and definitely conditions do play a factor.
How did you originally get started in racing?
Well, as a farm kid, and I really did not get to go to too many races, but I had five brothers, and all of them quite mechanical, and I would say three of them very much into cars, and I took the car side, I guess, a little bit more than the tractor side on the farm, and I know that my brother that was an auto mechanic is an auto mechanic, worked with the guy that raced, and he did some pitting, and when I was pretty young, I was able to go sit with the wife of the driver a couple times, and he'd take me for my birthday, and then he would have worked out on the farm if you weren't. It was a tough deal. If it's raining and you can't bale hay, are you racing either, you know, or something like that, but it got to where we'd at least try to go a couple, three times a year in Fountain City. Primarily, I remember him taking me to Casa once, and when I got into tech school, Chuck Speltz that raced down to Fountain City was the guy that was in my class. And after we graduated at 91, I guess that summer, I pitted for him. And then in 92 also. And seen some people from the area that were doing what was the bomber class back then. And thought, well, maybe I should give it a whirl. What the heck, you know? So I just dabbled a little bit in 93. And 94, I built my own car and but myself, a welder, I guess the following year in 94 at the welding shop sponsor me, and he let me throw my car together down there. I bought a cheap bender at that time to bend the heavier tubing, and yeah, built my first car and went racing.
Did you ever get a chance to run Fox Ridge during the short time they were open?
I did. I was kind of bummed out to remember that spring was a flood, and a lot of guys, you know, that were at Fountain City then automatically went to Fox Ridge. Kind of a bad deal because, of course, they're competitors and far enough away that they could run the Minnesota classes, whatever, I believe, right away. Unless they were unsanctioned, I can't say for sure that first year, but pretty much forced to close the Fountain City. I did go to Menominee a little bit there first and then decided that, yeah, I was going to try Fox Ridge, and it was a lot of fun. Menominee at the time, because I was only in Super Stock for a couple of years at that point, seemed like Menominee and the super drivers that you seem to get there, I don't know if I'd call them your veteran drivers or highly skilled drivers that seem to be at Menominee, made a guy have to be really good just to make the feature. And that's kind of what I set my goal at that year. I said, if I make the feature, then we'll go to Fox Ridge. But I was determined to make a feature. You know, there was 30-some super stocks every night back then. And so I made a feature, and I tell you what, I went to Fox Ridge, and I think my first night I got a third place, and boy, that was fun. There was some unbelievable lane choices and differences in speed that you could run at that track, and running up on that high side, boy, really makes some gains, you know, on the right track conditions, and it's obviously fast.
How and when did you get involved in RC racing?
I did that actually as being in 4-H as a kid. I always liked remote control cars, and I was the youngest in our family, so the older brothers would buy, I shouldn't say would buy me, I'm like, I got a bunch, but I remember getting one when I was probably too young to just jump into something like that and run, where today's kids with all the video games and stuff, by the time they get a remote control car, they can probably run it at 5 years old. But, you know, I had one or two through my younger years, and get to stand wherever you want and run something that's far away. I mean, it was pretty much before we probably even had a remote control for our television, you know, on the farm back then. So I was the remote control as a kid. You walk over and change channel and the router or whatever, you know, where you want the antenna pointed. But yeah, I guess basically started it, like I said, at a young age for me. And in 4-H, I had a nitro car that I built. You had to build everything back then. Now we pretty much can buy anything ready to run out of the box. Yeah, that's where it started. And then they didn't really have racing for nitro cars back then, so I never really got out to do that until I was probably 30 years old when I actually found a track, knew somebody that I worked with that was like, hey, you should come over and get a car and run over here, you know. And that was over in Eau Claire. We used to drive over there every Thursday, I think it was, that we drove over to Eau Claire. We'd race and then come back, work third shift, till I opened my own track.
How have you adapted to the new track surface changes at Mississippi Thunder Speedway and the increased banking, and how has that affected the setup on all three of your cars?
I'm not sure if I ever really exactly got to where I wanted to be on the Superstock. Well, I know I didn't. I always had a better car for Deer Creek in the Superstock than what I ever had for Fountain City. Not that I hadn't gotten a win, I guess, more recently at Fountain City, but I want to say I'm not 100% sure if that was when it was tri-oval or if it was after the change. Because I do know that I had actually won with the Street Stock and the Super Stock at Fountain City on the same night. My memory shouldn't be that bad. I haven't won that many times. Honestly, I mean, it's like if the guys that win and win and win probably keep track of all their wins, and somebody that's maybe only won twice knows exactly when they are. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure when my wins were, but yeah, back as far as the track change, every track seems to change their surface banking, and I can't say exactly how much or what it's affected, but I can say that's just something you work with. And I would say the increased banking at Fountain City is good, but I don't know if it's affected me a lot in my classes because the late model is new to me altogether, so I can't say at all any effect there. The hobby stock is kind of what I was used to back running street stock, stock springs, and I guess you get used to racing to the point where you adapt. I mean, you don't maybe always realize that you do, but you kind of look to see where you line up, and you might change car just a little bit, depending on if you think you can run the high groove, if there's anything of a berm, if there's any tack out there, if you're on the outside, if you start on the bottom, if you think you can make the bottom work. I mean, obviously, you want to set your car up to be able to run either or. If you really have an idea that the track might hold out on one groove or the other, you're more apt to try to set it up just a little bit more towards that side.
The switch from the street stock division at Mississippi Thunder to the new MTS hobby stock division, how much did that change affect you, and how did it affect some of the other drivers?
I don't know if it really affected me a lot. The car that I'm running in hobby stock, I originally built back in 2001. Actually, I was painting that the day the Twin Towers went down, and I was getting it ready for the Wasota 100 that year, and I actually sold it to a guy that I knew from Kellogg here, and it kind of made its way around Kellogg. A couple different guys owned it after that, and I decided, yeah, I'm going to buy it back. He wanted a couple $1,000s for it, and I said, well, I built it. I know what it is. I said, I'll buy it back. And it was back when I already had a street stock that I built, actually when we were running Fox Ridge Speedway. In 2005, I built the car. And then 2006, when Fountain City started back up, I took that car over there, won a championship in 2006, coming back to Tri-Oval, and used this red, white, and blue car as my extra test car and trying, you know, different things with it and running Deer Creek some at that time. So really, then it just sat for 10, 12 years. I didn't even touch the stocks. Springs are still stock springs, and that's what I used to run in street stock. So basically, it was just to get USRA rules, no cockpit enclosures. You had to have a floor in the trunk, so I had to put a floor back in the trunk and the fuel cell up within the trunk. It seemed like a lot of hassle, but I really didn't have a lot of expense in changing it. There was some time involved, of course. Like I said, wheel wells, trunk, because taking the interior tin out, I had to put the back floor and everything like that back in the car. Not a lot of expense. Went out and ran it. Actually, my third night out with it, I was surprised to actually took the lead, and it was a close call on a caution that gave the guy that I think had won like seven shows, might have been up to that point, the lead. and was green white checker, so he was probably not a lot faster than me. I know that I was running the inside groove, he was running the outside groove, and at that time the outside was working a little better, and he ended up getting lead off that caution because it was close couple laps in there who was the leader. He didn't have a transponder, I did, so it was hard to say by how much, but they showed him as being the leader and won. But yeah, it was fun to be that competitive with someone that's been sitting around that long. Not that it's not an investment, even though you only have a couple $1,000s into putting it together. It was already a car that I had previously built, so the car, the roll cage, the rear end, everything that was in it was stuff that I already had. Even a hobby stock that's cheap to me, if you add everything up, pretty much any running racing car that's competitive was a $5,000 car. Then there's many hobby stocks out there that are new and purpose-built for USRA and are going to be a $20,000 car when you start out new.
I know racing runs deep in Kevin Hager. Driver Gary Worskala once told me on the Dirt Show he tried to retire one time, had his race car back at his house on a trailer, was out fishing on the Mississippi River, heard hot laps at Mississippi Thunder Speedway, and was able to get to the boat landing, load the boat, get home, get the car, and still make it to the races that night. What are your plans for racing for the future?
That's a good question. I always keep thinking that I'd want more time to do other things. And that might be true. I mean, this 25th year, I kind of decided that, you know, I got a good deal in the late model. It's still quite an investment by the time you get done and you try to have spares. That's a big deal. I always want to be prepared. In fact, last night at Jim Falls, somebody came and they're like, well, you're the guy that everybody sends people to. If you got a spare drive shaft, it might work for my Super. And I did. It was a competitor. He couldn't run otherwise, but I don't want to beat somebody because they can't even start the race. So he was able to use my drive shaft, whatever. But as far as racing, like I said, it was doing that and trying to get all my ducks in a row, I guess you'd say, for the other two cars. And just going to try to have just a fun year, I told my pit guys. Just want to try the late model, run the hobby stock. My initial investment in the hobby stock this spring was $75. And, you know, it's a great class, used tires, whatever. So, you know, it's been, knock on wood, fairly good. Had some crazy things happen, whatever. But it makes me kind of weigh out my options and always think that as I want to slow down, I might want to just go to the fun class and the class where I always said that I like to be able to build my own stuff and race what I build. So maybe something more like a hobby stock would be in the future, because that is fun. I, you know, like throwing my own motors together. Not that I haven't most of the time for the super stock either. Found myself in a pinch a couple years ago and my spare was, yeah, it's okay, but it was right before big Wasota 100 coming up. So I did go ahead and buy a motor and figured them guys do them all the time. They dyno, they know what they got. Newer style heads, they're a different deal. So yeah, I could see in the future actually going to a class. It's just more fun. I mean, everybody, they question and you talk and you say expenses and all that. They're like, well, you got to pay to play. And it's like, yeah, it's people that don't quite understand racing. And the play part is the time at the track and making the changes and racing the car. But they don't have any idea of, I don't think, all of the work that's involved to try to keep the cars going and make them ready and do what you can to try to make them faster back at the shop all week long, you know.
Kevin, thanks for sharing some of your stories with us here on The Dirt Show, and thanks for being with us today.
You bet.
Got an old motorcycle that's taking up space? Time to turn that bike into cash. Motorcycles Wanted. We buy 1970s Japanese bikes and British bikes, running bikes, non-running bikes, dirt bikes, and street bikes. Call today, 612-720-2142. That's 612-720-2142. 42.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself who has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one choice for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers. For racers, 800-622-6617.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers car care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers car care products distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Rhino Egg offers the most complete rear blade line in the industry. Whether your tractor has 30 or 300 horsepower, Rhino offers a blade to accomplish any task. Don't settle for cheap imitations. Buy Rhino, building the best since 1934. Pull what the pros pull, a Rhino. Check out the full line at rhinoegg.com.
The big boys with the big toys. Dale Enterprises.
We got the right stuff to get the job done. We can get it done fast, we can get it done right.
We're not messing around with those sissy toys.
Fire them up, let the horses run.
The big boys with the big toys. Dale Enterprises.
Welcome back to our sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Mike Bath from the Napa Distribution Center here in Owatonna. And Mike, wow. What a night at the Lucas Oil late model race at Deer Creek Speedway earlier this spring, and that was brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. That was great.
Well, thanks, Clayton. It was a great event. I think what really tied it all together was being tied in with our co-sponsor, which would be Lucas Oil Products, and sponsoring the Lucas series up here of late models. It just kind of tied all together. And our relationship with Lucas goes back a lot of years with the Lucas family, a very family-oriented company, and we are too. We're very family-oriented, and we're trying to reach a family-oriented crowd at Deer Creek.
And you mentioned family-oriented. The other thing I really appreciate is exiting the track, you and Randy were standing there saying goodbye to everybody and thanks for coming. And that just says a lot about you and your whole staff.
Well, it's important to us to have a relationship with each of our customers. And that goes with that handshake, if you will. Yeah, you know, we're all friends. When you come to the track, everybody's related. Everybody's a friend.
The other thing that I really enjoyed is I'm a big kid at heart, so I was standing in line watching the autograph sessions under the tent, and all of a sudden a bunch of Napa staff appeared, and they were handing out little matchbox-size late models to each and every kid, and I saw those kids' face light up, and you just created new race fans.
Well, and that's so important in the racing world altogether. You know, traditionally, we're seeing our race fans grow older, and we need to get younger people involved in racing. And if it first starts out being a spectator, and if we can show a little attention, share a little love, if you will, then our hope is that they'll grow into fans, and a lot of them, they grow into racers.
The Napa stores. The local stores that are located all over the Dirt Show listening area. Each and every one of these stores, owners, and employees are involved in their local communities, whether they're sponsoring a youth soccer team through church groups or other local organizations.
That's correct, Clayton. We're very much committed to our communities, both with money. A lot of us in the Owatonna store, even though it's a company store, we give a lot to United Way each year. We give back to our community. And so it is with all of our other communities out there, whether it be Kenyon or Dodge Center or Waseca, and you know, throughout the area. Everybody is committed to their community in one sort of another.
In the United States, we have 62 distribution centers that stock all of the local stores in the United States. And here in Minnesota, we're lucky enough to have two of them.
We do have two, and a lot of it is just the geography. The distribution center in Owatonna, where I work, serves all of southern Minnesota, some South Dakota, some Wisconsin. The Minneapolis services South Dakota, North Dakota, and as well as upper Minnesota and Wisconsin. So they're big geographic areas, but it's really important. We have a lot more distribution centers than our competitors do, and the reason why is we want to be close to our stores so we can better serve them.
Not only is Napa involved in racing on a local level, Napa is heavily involved in racing on a national level. Brad Sweet in the World Outlaw Sprint Car Series, Alexander Rossi in IndyCars, Chase Elliott in NASCAR, Ron Capps in the Funny Cars, and many, many more. Performance is really a focus here at Napa.
It truly is, and we try to get involved in all levels as well. Our stores even sponsor cars within their trading area too. So it goes all the way up to grassroots racing, all the way up in a national scale. And there's a story behind each one of these sponsorships as well. If you look at Chase Elliott, the son of a world famous Bill Elliott, their story tells our story, and they're wonderful representatives to Napa. Ron Capps, you're never going to find a more relational driver that you can get up there and talk to and have him share with you his life in racing. All of them, Alex Rossi, same way, Sweet, everybody is just all a big part of the Napa family.
And convenience, that's one thing I really enjoyed about Napa when I was working on hot rods and building custom cars. I could come down to my local store, people I knew and trusted, look through the catalogs, find exactly what I wanted, if it was a special four-barrel carburetor or a different intake or even a blower for a small block Chevy. You guys carry all of that stuff, and some people don't realize that.
Well, that's true, Clayne. The other thing is that when you come in, you're going to be talking about people who understand the same thing. You know, a farmer coming in is probably going to talk to a counterman that has a small farm, that understands tractors. So it's a basic understanding, and that's really what our marketing slogan is all about, Napa know-how. When you come into a Napa store, you're going to meet people that know how to do it themselves, and so they're better equipped to help you solve your problem in getting your vehicle, tractor, race car back on the road or track again.
Speaking of ag, heavy-duty ag and commercial is really a major focus here at Napa.
It is. It's a large foundation of it. We live, in a rural agriculture community, and they're a big part of who we are. And, coming up as an example, we have our fall filter sale that'll come up in September. And so you might want to check out with your local store. But again, it's focused towards the farmer or a small fleet owner as well to give you the prices. We know margins are tough right now. It's tough to make a buck farming. We understand that, and we're trying to do our part to help.
Mike, you are not only involved with Napa, but you are also a huge race fan, and I know you enjoy getting out to some major events. What do you have coming up?
Well, actually, pretty exciting. This is our event for Minnesota. We don't have a lot of professional, truly national professional events, and coming up is the Brainerd event. That's the NHRA Lucas Nationals, and I virtually spend the week up there because there's always something going on. We'll have probably 350,000 fans that will roll through there over the three-day event period. In fact, in the campground, I think last year they had just short of 90,000 people camping. So it becomes a city in itself, and it's a city of racers and race enthusiasts. So it's just fun being a part of. And Napa and the track owners have a very, very special relationship and work together to promote racing and really to reach out to the fans that they get that wonderful personal experience.
Mike, thanks for all you do, and thanks for everything your staff and stores do to keep everybody supplied with the parts and oil and heavy-duty equipment that they need out on the farms. And it's a great relationship, Napa and Minnesota.
Well, thank you, Clayne, and to all your listeners out there, we appreciate your patronage to your local Napa store. And also, just for listening to your show, become better connected with racing through your show, and that's pretty cool. That's pretty exciting.
Thanks for being with us, Mike.
You bet, Clayne.
Working at my job, going all day long. Don't want to go and mow my lawn. Picking up the phone book, and what do I see? I see Wolf and Sons can do it for me. Dandelions, I don't want to spray. Free estimates are coming your way. Don't hesitate and learn about more. Call 455-3524.
And if you have some really big outside jobs, Wolf and Sons has the dump trucks, loaders, and graders you need to haul in driveway gravel, black dirt, and clear building sites.
VP Racing Fuels is a world leader in performance fuel technology. That includes VP Small Engine Fuel, the perfect fuel for your two- and four-cycle gas-powered tools, including chainsaws, generators, trimmers, blowers, and more. VP Small Engine Fuel is blended with no ethanol, ensuring easier starts, worry-free long-term storage with fewer repairs. And the two-cycle blend is pre-mixed with oil, so there's no measuring, no mixing, no mess. Just pour it in and start it up. Learn more about VP Small Engine Fuel at vp-sef.com.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels can be seen on the dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact, the Arrow 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy, NASCAR, Xfinity, and Camping World Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winner, see arrowracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365.
Why does World of Outlaws sprint car driver David Gravel use Walker Performance Filtration Systems?
We use Walker Performance Filtration Systems because it keeps the dirt out of our engines, making our engine builders happy, and we did not have one engine failure last year throughout the whole World of Outlaws season, and they perform great on the dyno, and they translate that to the racetrack.
See WalkerPerformanceFiltration.com or call them at 818-252-7788. Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by the president of the IMCA Old Timers Club, Mark Langer. And Mark, the Dakota County Fair is right around the corner, August 6th through the 12th, and you guys have an amazing display up there. We were up there 2 years ago, and we were blown away by what you had under your tent, and this year is going to be even bigger and better.
This year we've got a midget that actually raced at the Farmington Speedway on the Farmington Fairgrounds. It was driven by Orv Netfee from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Orv's 92 years old, and he ran this car last year at Jackson.
I remember seeing Marv out on the track with that car.
It's a beautiful number 59 yellow midget, and he's had this car for a very long time. He's had two midgets, and he raced this one all the way back in the early 50s.
You also got some very rare memorabilia from the Minnesota State Fair that came about that they just didn't have a place to store it, and now you guys have it, and you're allowed to display it.
Yes, this year we have received the contents from Speedy's Garage at the Minnesota State Fair. The items have some history of racing in Minnesota and its promoters, the IMCA, which was the International Motor Contest Association. And that started back in the 1930s and sanctioned auto racing at county fairs and state fairs from Canada to Florida.
I want to talk a little bit more about your display because you have cars under the tent, you have interactive stuff for the kids that can get their photos taken, and you also have some tables in the back where guys can sit around, look through pictures, and do a little bench racing.
We have a quarter midget, possibly two quarter midgets this year that the kids can sit in and get their pictures taken. It's just really cool to see the kids sitting there. They all have big grins on their face when they get out. We have about 10 or 12 scrapbooks that go all the way back to hot rod racing in the late 40s, early 50s, which started right after World War II, all the way through Raceway Park, Elko Speedway.
Mark, I know the Dakota County Fair is going on August 6th through the 12th. Your display is a can't-miss at the fair. I highly recommend it to any race fan in the area. It is definitely worth the drive over to see what you guys have on display. And if they'd like to find out more about the fair or more about your club, what's the best way to do that, Mark?
the IMCA Old Timers Welcome page. If you just Google IMCA Old Timers, you'll get Welcome page. And click on that, and that is our webpage. It has all the information on it one needs. Applications to join the club, news, pretty much everything our club has is on that webpage.
Mark, I also want to say thank you for bringing your car down to Owatonna to the Gus's Station car show a couple weeks ago. That was amazing to see, and it was nice to see you and Rick DeGrego. A lot of people came up and talked to you.
A lot of people were there, and the interesting thing is I found out a lot of information about my particular car that I never knew. So it was a great time, it was a lot of fun, and we enjoyed being there.
As I said, I highly recommend getting up to the Dakota County Fair and seeing the IMCA Old Timers display. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
You're welcome.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna total source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Only Powerlift has been building hydraulic doors continuously since 1992, longer than anyone else in the industry. Only Powerlift provides local manufacturing, sales, and service throughout North America, giving you confidence in knowing we will always be there when and where you need us. Only Powerlift installs each and every door, making your project hassle-free from start to finish. Only Powerlift has a lifetime warranty on the structure of the door. Yes, we have that much faith and experience in the quality of the doors. So, what hydraulic door should you buy? Only Powerlift. Contact us today at 507-374-9306.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I'm joined by Andy from Agnition. And Andy, next week is Farm Fest, and for all the farmers tuned into The Dirt Show, I know they're heading out there to look at the latest and greatest in technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Farm Fest is coming upon us. It's hard to believe it's that time of year already, but we certainly look forward to the great event over in that Redwood Falls area and getting a chance to see our customers again.
And Andy, you also go out into your customers' fields and bring in samples of how their crops are doing right now with the innovations that you're putting into their soil. So if you're walking around the show and you would like to see what Agnition can do for you, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really pride ourselves in showing people plant performance tied to their soil health, and we take that very seriously. And we bring in quite a few regional local plants to show what's going on in the area of Farm Fest. So we'll have all kinds of plants on display there, corn and soybeans, with both our Generate foliar and Infurl products, as well as our seed treatments, just showing how that lasting impact of plant performance gets you through the whole year.
And there's nothing like a side-by-side comparison. This is a plant without our nutrients. This is a plant with our nutrients, because when you see it firsthand, it's really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. We spend a lot of time with our customers of getting out in the field with them, because we really want to show them our product performance in the field. And we have a very high success rate, very consistent product and performance. So we spend a lot of time with our customers out digging up plants and showing them the differences in the plant structure based upon the healthier soil that's helping that plant get more nutrients.
Andy, I know when you're walking around Farm Fest and you're in that southeast corner, you can't miss the purple front on the tent and the Agnition logo. If farmers are out there, I highly recommend them stopping in. If they're not going to get out to Farm Fest and they would like to do a little more research in what you offer, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can check out our website at agnition.com or go to the Dirt Show page and click on the banner ad there, and it'll take you to our content as well. And if you are at Farm Fest, check us out down in that southeast corner. And if the weather's nice, we'll certainly have our giant Agnition blimp up in the air as well. That'll make us easy to find.
You and I both know it also gets kind of hot out at Farm Fest. If the sun's beating down and the weather's nice, what would be better than a Shake from the Dairy Association, and if they stop by and mention that they've heard you on the Dirt Show, what are they going to get?
Yeah, you know, stop on into the Ignition booth and tell them that you've been listening to us on the Dirt Show, and we'll give you a free ice cream shake from the Dairy Association. We're right across the walkway there from the Dairy Association, and so we like to do that for our customers. While supplies last, we'll be able to get you a free shake. So just tell them that you listen to us on the Dirt Show and stop in and learn about our products.
Thanks for being with us today, and I look forward to seeing you at FarmFest next week.
Sounds great.
When you have an accident, you want someone with experience to fix your vehicle. Bob from Midwest Collision in Faribault has spent his entire adult life servicing and repairing damaged vehicles. Midwest Collision takes care of everything from dealing with the insurance claims, providing you with a quality loaner vehicle, and repairing your damaged vehicle to meet or exceed your expectations. He's helped me, and I know he can help you too. Contact Bob at Midwest Collision in Faribault at 332-2434. Your experience, worry-free, hassle-free body shop.
Hey friends, it's Speed the Sauce Man here to remind you that Cookies products aren't just for barbecue night. Let us make your other favorite meals and gatherings better too. Top your tacos with Cookies taco sauce on Taco Tuesday. Smother your wings with our Wings and Things hot sauce for Wing Wednesday. Pair Cookies premium salsa with chips for Fiesta Friday. Make all of your favorite appetizers with our products on Sunday Fun Day. Remember, smart cookies use cookies. Visit us at cookiesbbq.com.
Cookies is the one.
International Steel Erectors are the best.
Yeah, I agree. We are the best.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Here at your local family-owned International Steel Erectors, we have the grain system that'll work for you.
ISE is your authorized dealer for MFS grain bins.
ISE also carries grain handler dryers made right here in Minnesota.
And if you are looking for a quality steel frame building, my dad also sells and installs Quality Star and Sentinel buildings.
Now, with two locations to serve you even better, see internationalsteelerectors.com.
ISE is the place to be.
This your old friend Speed the Sauce Man. Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Jackson Motorplex in Jackson, Minnesota was racing last Wednesday night, July 25th, in the 30-lap modified feature, Jay Noteboom over Don Gertson Jr. In the stock cars, it was Luke Sathoff over Dustin Larson. In the hobby stocks, Corey Probst over Kieran Sampson. In the sport mods, it was Josh Meyer over Jared Baumeister. In the sport compacts, Dustin Verkus over Bubba Brown. And in the late model, Tad Pospisil over Joe Provencino. KRA Speedway in Wilmer was racing last Thursday night. In the modifieds, Brian Haben over Shane Sabraski. In the B-mods, Tim Canton over Randy Lagg. In the mod 4s, Adam Prevey over Dean Larson. In the Pier stocks, it was Taylor Garbarich over Bruce Labs. In the sport compacts, Matthew Dipman over Zachary Schrader. In the street stocks, Justin Taman over Ryan Sater. And in the super stocks, Dexton Cook over Zach Schultz. Kossuth County Speedway was also racing last Thursday night, Hometown Heroes Night. In the A-Mod feature, it was Ryan Reuter over Kelly Shryock. In the B-Mod A-Main, Colby Fett over George Nordman. In the hobby stocks, it was Cody Nielsen over Doug Wickman. In the sport compacts, Jay DeVries over Oliver Monson. In the stock cars, Elijah Zervenbergen over Derek Green. Mississippi Thunder Speedway was also racing last Friday night, July 27th, the Bayman Law B-Mod Challenge, won by Parker Hale with 16-year-old J.T. Wasman finishing second. In the USRA Modifieds, it was Brad Waits over Josh Angst. In the 600 Modifieds, it was Joe Provencino. Travis Krause wins another USRA Hobby Stock feature, Hunter Miller taking the MTS Hornet feature, and Lily Reps and Mason Stockhausen winning on the Lightning Speedway. Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa was also racing last Friday night, July 27th. In the A-Mod feature, Caden Carter over Kelly Shryock. In the Sport Mods, Cody Thompson over Jonathan Logue. In the Stock Cars, Elijah Zervenbergen over Jeff Mueller. And in the Hobby Stocks, Chance Halatz over Jesse Van Lanningham. And Oliver Monson takes the Sport Compact checkered flag over Colin Rogers. Jackson Motorplex hosted the All-Stars on Friday night, July 27th. In the 410 Outlaw Wing Sprints, Kerry Madsen over Aaron Reitzel. In the 305 Wing Sprints, Dusty Ballinger over Jacob Hughes. I-94 Speedway was also racing last Friday night, July 27th. In the A-Mods, Brady Gertis over Travis Scherer. In the B-Mod A-Main, Shane Howell over Eric Lamb. In the Dirt Late Models, Jeff Wildung over Cole Schill. In the Economy Late Models, Ben Wolden over Dustin Bloom. In the Hornets, Jason Reinecke over Randy Thompson. And in the Street Stocks, Kyle Dykoff over Ryan Sater. Chateau Raceway in Lansing, Minnesota was also racing last Friday night, July 27th. In the Modifieds, Greg Pfeiffer Jr. over Darwin Carew. In the B-Mods, Brayton Cisneros over Casey Trom. In the Hornet feature, it was Andy Knutson over Brian Adams. In the Pier Stocks, Jesse Stahl over Troy Moss. In the Street Stocks, Bernie Adams over Jason Newkirk. And in the USRA Limited Modifieds, Caden Kath over AJ Zavorak. Granite City Speedway was also racing last Friday night, July 27th. In the A-Mods, Dennis Check over Don Eichens. In the B-Mods, Mac Esty over Travis Schulte. In the Mod 4s, Robert Holquist over Dustin Holquist. In the Mini-Mods, Kelly Steele over Blake Ferris. In the Sport Compacts, Corey Merworth over Justin Skalitsky. And in the Super Stocks, Don Eichens over Kurt Becken. Fairmont Raceway was also racing last Friday night, July 27th. In the Stock Cars, Jake Masters over Sean Bruns. In the Sport Mods, Matthew Loaf over Troy Grockner. In the Modifieds, Brandon Beckendorf over Jay Noteboom. In the Hobby Stocks, Justin Lunenberg over Malik Sampson. And in the Hornets, Jay DeVries over his wife, Katie DeVries. Arlington Raceway was also racing last Saturday night, July 28th. In the Hobby Stocks, Corey Probst over Brad Becker. In the Sport Compact, Alex Dostal over Bubba Brown. In the Sport Mods, Matthew Loaf over Tim Bergeson. In the Modifieds, it was Brandon Beckendorf over Toby Patchen. In the Outlaw Hobby Division, Andrea Kuchel over Rodney Manthe. In the Sprint Cars, it was Trevor Service over Javen Osterman. In the Stock Cars, Kevin Latour over Matt Speckman. Deer Creek Speedway was also racing last Saturday night. In the Modifieds, Dustin Sorensen over Jake Tim. In the Super Stocks, Mike Loomis over Brandon Duelman. In the Street Stocks, Corey Adams over Dustin Doty. In the Midwest Modifieds, Jason Vandekamp over Mitch Weiss. And in the USRA B-Mods, Jared Baumeister over Cole Denner. Madison Speedway in Madison, Minnesota was also racing last Saturday night, July 28th. In the 18-lap Modified A Main, Brian Haben over Morgan Ward. In the B-Mods, Cody Lee over Tim Canton. In the Sport Mods, Matthew Dittman over Adam Vanderstein. In the Stock Cars, Austin Bauman over Ron Hawkinson. In the Street Stocks, Justin Taman over Eric Riley. And in the Super Stocks, Ryan Flatten over Corey Taman. Viking Speedway was also racing last Saturday night. In the A-Mods, Landon Atkinson over Brady Gertis. In the B-Mods, Jamie Thorstad over Brendan Blazek. In the Super Late Models, Travis Scherer over Casey Meyer. In the Pier Stocks, Jesse Waldorf over Tanner Horn. In the Street Stocks, Jeff Krause over Ryan Sater. And in the Super Stocks, Brian Hellerman over Jason Cook. Ogilvy Raceway was also racing last Saturday night. In the Modifieds, J.B. Stortz over Jody Belfi. In the B-Mods, Shane Howell over Matt Baker. In the Sport Compacts, Brittany Smith over Jake Smith. In the Street Stocks, Kyle Howland over Kyle Dykoff. And in the Super Stocks, Dave Moss over Ryan Kostreba. Last Saturday night, the All-Stars returned to Knoxville Raceway in Knoxville, Iowa. In the 410 Sprint Car A Main, it was Kerry Madsen over Sammy Swindell. And in the 360 Sprint Car A Main, Clint Garner over Scott Bogke. The UMSS Sprint Cars were at Cedar Lake last Saturday night. In the Wing 360 A Main, Jamie Ogston over Ryan Bowers. And in a traditional non-wing Sprint Car A Main, Cam Schaefer over Blake Anderson. Sunday night, we were at Mason City Motor Speedway for the ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. There were also three great races in the support classes. In the Stock Car feature, Josh Zeman over Derek Green. In the USRA B-Mods, it was Nate Whitehurst over Ty Griffith. In the USRA Hobby Stocks, Dustin Gulbranson over over Zach Smith, and in the ASCS Sprint Car feature, Sam Haferty Jr. over Skyler Gee. And Tuesday night, July 31st, they were racing at Rice Lake Speedway in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, the Little Dream Street Stock race won by the 3R of Danny Richards, who took home over $16,000 in winnings.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.